This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Jesse's got a new electrical throw rug over there. He's doing well. He's
why do good. I have your cookies?
Because I brought them over in case you're hungry.
I'm not hungry.
All right, then give them to me. I'll eat them.
Look,
I just
went
to the doctor
yesterday. Made the move. The minute the paper started rattling.
These dogs aren't stupid. That's why they hang out with me.
Did you get enough donuts before you went to the doctor yesterday?
I the three dozen, I do appreciate all the good folks up in Winston-Salem that you came in. I felt like Christmas yesterday morning opening up gifts.
I felt like a courier.
Well, you were. You're kind of you're the ACC Uber guy.
Uber Eats.
Yes,
apparently
who you
I'm
are.
Uber Eats for you.
That's who you are.
Attention sponsors.
Yeah, that's it. Is that plural?
It was.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So I took one dozen.
To the doctor's office?
To the doctor's office. Is that, let me ask you a question.
Hi, I'm here for my health checkup.
Right.
Here's a dozen Glaze from Krispy
Kreme.
That's
what I did. Now, is that a wrong move to take a dozen donuts to the doctor's office? Because I was doing it out of the kindness of my heart.
Sure you were.
While they were worried about my heart. Was that a bad move? Because I thought it was a...
What did the doctor's office say?
The doctor says I'm in perfect health. Sort of.
Wait. Hold on. Perfect health, sort of.
My numbers were good.
Okay.
Except for the blood pressure was up a little bit. Yes.
Well,
and I told the doctor,
You've been fired up about everything.
No, I told the doctor, I said, and he's a big NC State guy, so he's still fired up
about Friday night.
He was.
Little did he know he's going to get four overtimes of basketball last night.
He asked me about the hoops. I said, Nebraska, you should handle those guys.
Well, they did. Took four OTs.
Yeah, it took a while, but it's okay. But he was still fired up about NC State coming back and beating North Carolina.
I'm sure.
On Friday night. And he goes, hey, your blood pressure's up just a little bit. I said, well, I just had six donuts. He goes, what? I said, I just had six donuts. I said, well, you can't get mad. I just gave a dozen to your staff. He said, what? I said, just gave you a dozen donuts. Well, we're good. Everything's great.
Good.
Tremendous. Flu shot.
You got a flu shot.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? Where'd you step out there?
I am becoming Mr. Vaccination.
Are you?
Yep.
Good.
So I'll probably be sick as a dog next week.
No, you'll be fine. We did get great basketball last night. Entertaining basketball.
Yeah.
We had a lot of close games.
I will say this. Let me say this before you go off. I thought North Carolina was awesome.
They were very good.
But the Heels were great.
Yep.
I thought Virginia Tech's toughness on the road at Maryland was outstanding.
Sure.
And in the NC State-Nebraska thing, I really was praying to God it was going to finish before our show started. I didn't know if either team could figure out a way to win the game. I really did. It was four overtimes, and it was like, oh, my God, is somebody going to win this game?
Yeah.
And I also worried whether or not the NC State game would finish.
Before Miami and Penn State finished?
After the North Carolina game, which started two hours later.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
I would say this. That what we saw in the last three nights, for the most part, has been fairly competitive basketball. Whether it's good, whether it's a work of art, that's up to your taste. It's still early in the season. We're only in the third week of the campaign. I would offer you this. You're going to get some crazy outliers. And I will offer as Exhibit A last night, NC State-Nebraska as the crazy outlier. Now, there were some things that happened in the NC State-Nebraska game. Bench clearing kind of kerfuffle.
What was that?
That I would offer to you that you're not going to get every night. But you got possession-to-possession basketball that most of the time was not elegant, but at the same time led to possession-to-possession basketball. You had dramatic plays, free throws at the end to make, shot opportunities. It wasn't gorgeous, to Pac's point, but at the end, you got to win if you're Kevin Keats, and you learn some more things about your team. Number one, Darian Sebron is going to be a problem because here's the deal. Sebron, look at this guy. We're talking about 6'8", handling a rock, getting to the rim, 39-18 last night.
He's twitchy, man. He's going to the basket, and it's like...
And looks for the camera, which I respect totally.
Well, he's like Plastic Man. He's like weaving in and out through people, and he's been scoring a bunch. You know, I do want to go back, though. You mentioned the brawl. And it wasn't necessarily a brawl. It looked like
it was a kerfuffle.
Yeah, it looked like kind of a Major League Baseball waltz out there at the third baseline.
But Helm's a three.
Wes, I don't think I've ever seen a bench clearing moment in which a dude on a scooter is coming out to talk some trash.
By the way, that's the Pitt transfer, Trey McGowan, who came out on the scooter. There he goes. Oh,
where's that guy going?
What are you doing, Trey? Trey, where are you going? What do you think you're going to do?
I know this much. If a fight breaks out, I'm going after the dude on the scooter. That's me. He's the first guy I'm looking for.
I mean, McGowan's is in a boot, obviously non-weight bearing.
What is he doing?
What are you doing, son?
And how wasn't everybody tossed? Seriously.
I don't know.
You get to the point of it's a technicality, I guess.
Got to have some players.
Yeah. The game's over, right? I mean, everybody's off the bench.
Yeah. Even the dude with the scooter. Though, they evaluated on the monitor and moved on.
Oh, and that took forever. But that was a crazy game.
It's going to take forever when you do that.
By the way, I got a tweet from a Nebraska fan who listens on the radio, and he was totally ticked off.
At?
42-15.
Free throws.
Free throw attempts.
Yeah, well, next year when they're at Pinnacle Bank Arena in Lincoln.
You want to sit to this guy? I said, you're out there in the land of corn. Welcome to Tobacco Road.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, you guys been housing people for years out there.
Hey, don't foul. All you had to do is make one more free throw. With 1 second left, they wouldn't have had to worry about it.
By the way, first overtime, this is the part Packer really liked, the artistic pieces of the game. First overtime, the teams combined to miss their first 11 shots.
Oh,
that's where
I sent all of you on the group text. Yeah. I said, we are now at a minute and 21 seconds to go in overtime. No one has scored. Mm-hmm. Nobody. Then all of a sudden, everybody started making a couple shots.
Well, remember now, we went 3 minutes and 10 seconds the night before in Winston-Salem. Nobody made a field goal at the end.
I know this much. The ACC lost the challenge.
Yeah.
But we are the kings of overtime basketball. We proved it in this series.
Yeah.
3-0.
All right. Best performance of the night, though, is in Chapel Hill, where North Carolina looked as good as they've looked all year long.
Ooh, they look good.
Against a team that was in the nation's top 25. The Tar Heels led early. They led often. Caleb Love was big time with 22-4-4. And Carolina won a leg crosser last night.
Man, this was the most impressive performance of any ACC team in the challenge.
Yep.
And I thought this was going to be a fun game because, all right, North Carolina, physically, are you going to be up for this, right? I mean, we know they get up and down the floor. We know they can score. We know they can shoot. But there have been some moments already in this season where, hey, are you tough enough? Man, I thought North Carolina punked Michigan last night. Well, they were great defensively.
If you hadn't watched the Tar Heels and Caleb Love, the first thing I would tell you is Jonas Serration is the strength and conditioning guy for Carolina basketball. Caleb Love is a physical specimen pack compared to his freshman year. I mean, he looked bigger when we had him on the set in Charlotte, but to watch him play and the physicality and the way he's able to play energy-wise and just from a strength perspective, I mean, he was impressive last night with 22, including four threes. But the deal is Carolina, you know what? They got after Michigan. 51 points. I mean, somebody picked somebody up, checked them in the front court.
That, to me, is coaching. Because that North Carolina team last night, that wasn't the same team we saw 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That team last night is dangerous. Right now, the weird thing about it is North Carolina attempted three free throws. That's the fewest in the history of the program. Three.
Yeah.
And you're so used to seeing them get to the line, shoot a ton of free throws and so forth. I thought they were out of sight. I really did.
No question.
I think if you're a North Carolina basketball fan this morning,
yep,
you get out of bed after watching that last night and you go, you know what?
Feeling pretty good.
We got shot.
Yep.
If that's the team I get on a consistent basis that can get better as the year goes on, we got a chance. Now, you can't tell me that's not a top 25 team.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that was that kind of effort last night. And Michigan's a really good club. Physical, tough. North Carolina got after him, man. Excellent. Excellent. What's the matter? That's me.
Computer's talking.
Yeah. Got a little ACDC.
I want to go to College Park next because on a night when the University of Maryland paid tribute to, in my opinion, one of the 10 greatest ACC basketball players of all time, Virginia Tech went in there and dealt Turgeon and the Terps a 62-58 win. And as Pac said, toughness reigned for Virginia Tech last night.
Here's what I'm impressed about with the Hokies. Last week, they had two opportunities to play two really good teams And down the stretch, they didn't close. They didn't close against Memphis. They didn't close against Xavier. We know that this is a really well-coached club, right? Coach Young's done a tremendous job. You go into Maryland, they still remember those good old ACC days. In fact, all their best rivals are still in our league.
That's it.
They sold their soul to the devil. They're in the Big Ten. Good for them. That's what they wanted. But they still clamor for the days of playing Virginia and Duke and Carolina. And now here come the Hokies. I thought the toughness of Coach Young's team last night, if I'm a Hokie fan getting out of bed this morning, I'm feeling really, really good about that basketball effort and the press conference that you're going to hear this morning at 9 a.m. because we're going to get into all that stuff.
By the way, Pac mentioned the Terps' exit from the Atlantic Coast Conference. Since leaving the Atlantic Coast Conference in this particular event, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, Maryland is 1-7 since leaving the league. You can never go home again.
Like I said, and I still got a bunch of buds up there.
I do too, man.
They miss seeing Coach K and Roy or whatever. You know, in this case, it would be Hubert.
They miss Clemson football. They miss NC State going up there. They miss Virginian football.
You know?
Yeah, I get it. I mean,
good luck.
Yeah. Kevin Aluma double-double last night.
At least you're rich. You got that going for you.
Yeah. Kevin Aluma double-double. Maryland only made 1-3 last night. Sneaky good league game on this channel Saturday. Wake Forest at Virginia Tech. Deacons go up and down the floor. Alondis Williams, Davian Williamson, Jake LaRavia against that crowd up there in Blacksburg. Sneaky good ACC game Saturday right here on ACC Network. All right, let's go to State College, a game that was almost preempted by overtimes. Miami beat Penn State 63-58. Sam Wardenburg 14. Cam McGusty, Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, each 12 each. Canes open ACC play Saturday high noon against Clemson at the Watsco Center. This was an important win for Larrañaga's team.
Any win is important at this stage. The good news for Miami is Penn State went on a crazy run. They were down 7 with about 12 minutes to go. And unlike some of these games in the challenge, Miami responded.
Yeah,
they did. And they responded. They took the lead and closed. When you look back at this challenge, 8-6, the Big Ten wins, you're going to play the woulda, coulda, shoulda, right?
Yep.
You know, Pitt losing at home to Minnesota, last second shot. Virginia losing at home to Iowa, last second shot. But it was nice to see an ACC team win a close one.
Yep.
Because that happened. Didn't happen in Atlanta, though, Wes.
No, Wisconsin edged Georgia Tech 70-66. Brad Davison, a season-high 27 for the Badgers. Good ball game, very close. Possession two apart most of the night. Michael DeVoe is on a tear.
Yep.
He had 33 last night. He's had 96 in three games, most by any player in a three-game span over the last 25 years in Atlanta. Michael DeVoe is going to be a problem. That guy made a smart decision to come back, and it's paying off here early.
Well, unlike what Miami did at Penn State, Georgia Tech at home had it within two with about 20, 25 seconds to go.
Yep.
Just didn't make the shot.
We
saw a number of those games in this challenge. Like I said, Big Ten wins it 8-6. But you're going to look back and say, man, you know, Duke, the number one team in the country, lost. So you figured you're going to get a W there. You didn't. That would be the difference basically in a 7-7 deal. But there's still a lot of work to be done. What I gather from three nights on the men's side is that North Carolina is making humongous progress. I mean, I loved what I saw last night in Chapel Hill. I think Virginia Tech is without question one of the three best teams in the league right now, this second.
Right.
And Duke's Duke, right? That's what I gathered.
Very Cremens of you to go with Duke is Duke.
Duke is Duke. So, but those three teams to me right now, this second, on December the 2nd.
Yes, sir.
Are the three best teams in the league.
All right.
Would you agree with that?
I would not argue much of that. No, I think you're right on. Louisville lost by 9 last night.
They were down 20 in the second half.
That was
a little bit of a deceiving final score.
Well, and Izzo's team did not play great in the first half. He wasn't happy with them. He didn't think they were tough enough, as he told the folks going to the locker room at halftime. Myron Metcalf was doing sidelines last night with Benetti and Billis. Tyson Walker, 2 points, 10 assists for Michigan State. Look, Louisville's lost 7 of the last 8 against AP-ranked teams. Chris Mack's first game back last night as the head coach of the college.
You know, you were talking about a sneaky game. You think it's Wake and Virginia Tech. I think the sneaky ACC game this weekend is Louisville at NC State. I think that's the game. Because I still don't know about the Cards are kind of like the team of mystery in hoops too. I mean, Chris Mack back for the first time after his suspension. You know, what is Louisville? Do we know? Do you have a feel for them yet?
I mean, they won two ball games in Barmar over the weekend, including beating Maryland. I thought the Maryland win was a great win for Louisville.
I agree.
But to then give it back last night at East Lansing.
That's a tough place to play.
But Louisville's also one of about six teams that I still need to see more.
I agree.
The jury was out on Carolina until last night.
Oh, defensively.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. I saw some toughness and grit from North Carolina last night that I needed to see. But they were really, I'm telling you, they were really good.
Look, I understand why we're doing the conference games early. I get it because there are 20 of them and you got to fit some early. But I still don't think we've hit the curve yet in the first turn on this thing.
No, I agree.
And I think it's unfair to judge teams. Now, I don't disagree with what you're saying about Duke and Virginia Tech and things like that. But I look at, like, patterns of progress. Now, Carolina took a step last night. Virginia Tech took a step last night.
Mm-hmm.
We're still waiting on teams like Miami to kind of show us some concern. The win last night, fine. NC State without Manny Bates. I wanted to watch NC State last night to see what they look like. I mean, I don't know what Nebraska is. I'm not sure Nebraska is any good. Wake Forest, I'm kind of encouraged. I see depth. I see principle. It's going to be interesting to watch this league get better. I'm not ready to sell off the league yet. I'm not ready after 3 weeks to sell off the league.
Well, it's just like college football season when people make declarations after week two. A certain conference is out of the college football playoff run, or this guy can't win the Heisman,
right.
Or yeah. This team's overrated. I mean, it's stupid. But I just said, in my opinion, based on just eyeball tests, there's three teams that have caught my attention so far.
I agree with you.
And it's Duke, Virginia Tech, and North Carolina in no particular order.
Yeah.
I think those three teams look like they can be really, really good.
I tell you what, Caleb Love, ooh, wow, man, seriously? That guy just gets at the rim and makes noise.
I just like the toughness last night with North Carolina. I didn't see that the first couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We're in a, not even in the curve yet. All right, on the other side, we got plenty to go here. Big announcement at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is our announcement today. Why? Because at 9, we're going to take you live to Blacksburg. Brent Pry is the new head football coach of the Virginia Tech Hokies. Graduate assistant in the mid-90s for Frank Beamer. Now the defensive coordinator at Penn State's the new head coach of Virginia Tech. We look forward to that press conference live at 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock, we will name the ACC Coach of the Year. 8:15, Louis Riddick is going to join us. Pitt alum, great NFL Monday Night Football analyst. ESPN colleague. We look forward to having Lou Riddick back with us. Tom Luganbill at 8:30. His thoughts on the quarterback race and KP, Kenny Pickett, and whether or not, you know, the performances and get him an invitation to New York, among all that and more. We got plenty to go, too. The Big Ten ACC Women's Challenge is underway. We'll get you scores on that. We got guests. We got conversation. We're going to celebrate V-Week a little bit and the legacy of Jim Valvano, all that and more. Coming up here on a Thursday show. And you see, don't mistake, you see the chair here, don't you? Yeah. Tomorrow, people are in that chair. We're going to put people a chair in this room for the first time since a long time, January of 20.
Well, see Chester over there right now? If Megan get a shot of Chester,
Chester.
He's got a new throw rug.
Yeah, Chester's very excited. It's a heated blanket.
Heated blanket.
Yeah.
So, big man, I hope he can stay that quiet tomorrow with guest.
Yeah.
Brother Fuller.
Right here on my feet.
Will be active.
Yeah.
So, again, this is why we've won two Emmys as the best live studio show from a basement with dogs. Because when all of a sudden people come walking in here that aren't normally in here, stuff happens.
Yeah.
You give us live animals. Things happen on this show.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Chester, he's good to go. Feeling good, man. Look at that. Heated blanket, Wes. We should all be so lucky.
Fuller getting comfortable too, Meg. Make sure you get a shot of that. Fuller down here on the floor just backed up into my legs.
That's what he does.
Just backed up into my
legs. That's the Fuller move, though. I told you, he loves human touch.
Just backs up into my legs.
That's what he does.
I know.
It doesn't matter where you are. He just likes people, man. Yeah. Fuller just wants to know that, hey, you're my bud, right? Just gonna come up beside
me. And that's right, folks. I'm not wearing socks.
That's right. Nobody wears socks on this show.
All right. Shootout Saturday night. First of all, no major coaching news yesterday. What a nice change of pace that was. Oh, wait a second. There may be some.
Well,
Notre Dame may have their guy.
I sense Notre Dame's got their guy.
Well, and good for him and good for them.
If it's Marcus Freeman, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, listen, whatever makes you happy, man, go for it. Go for it. By the way, there were rumors galore with Oklahoma. What are they doing?
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
You know what I'd do? Just let Big Bob handle it for a while. Let Big Bob coach 22.
You know, Leinart was on with me yesterday.
What'd he say?
And he goes, you know, Stoops is my man. And he said they were doing a Zoom call to get ready for the Big Ten championship game, which they have. And he said, Stoops was like, all right, boys, just tell me what I need to do. I got to go hit the road. I'm recruiting. And so Leinart said it was awesome.
Stoops doesn't miss it?
Oh, no.
Stoops got the juice?
It's in the DNA, man.
I'm telling you, man.
These guys still love to coach.
Absolutely right. No question.
I'll tell you what. If he wanted to do it, I'd let him do it.
Absolutely.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
If he really wanted to do it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But who knows what's going to happen there.
You know, here's the thing, too. This is the part I like about the ACC championship game on Saturday night. We're going to announce the coach of the year coming up in about 35 minutes. The idea that two guys who built their program, and Pat Narduzzi was here 3 years ago, right? I mean, in 18. But the programs that Dave Clawson and Pat Narduzzi have built and the reward for getting to this game, to have the kind of year they've had, post-COVID year, which was crazy, you feel good for those guys. You feel good for their school, their program, the sustainability, the patience involved in this, right? I do.
Well, for Pat, let me go Pat first. The thing that is intriguing here, and we talked to him about this before the season started.
Mm-hmm.
I remember asking him, man, it seems like I think of Pitt football, I think of defense with Pat.
Right.
Defense is the first thing that pops in my head when I think of Pat Narduzzi. But this particular year, heading into it, we said, man, your offense is going to be out of sight.
No doubt.
Right? Pickett should be great. Your line's back. 9 of your top 10 wide receivers are back. It's going to take a while for maybe your defense to catch up to your offense.
Right.
And he didn't give us the Heisman pose.
Nope.
He was like, yeah, you're right. Now, as the season's gone on, it's exactly what it turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense has gotten better as the year goes on. You know, but here's Pitt with his offense. Here's Wake with offense, right?
Right.
I still think this is going to be a defensive question mark game of who can make the enough plays on that side to win the game. Because I think both teams are going to score. But they're going to score.
No question. I think you're exactly right about that. I think that what you're talking about now is you're looking at turnover margin. You mentioned efficiency. There's some interesting numbers. Yards per game, pretty interesting. But who wins a game like that? See, to me, the temperament of the game, remember, Wake likes to go fast.
Right.
Pitt has a lot of personnel that they like to play. And Randy Bates and Pat Narduzzi do a really good job in exchanges of those packages. I think that's going to be the chess match.
I agree.
Chess match is tempo. And it's one of the things to keep an eye on. In fact, I think one of the tricks in the game is to watch the exchange of defensive line and secondary for Pittsburgh. Is there a trigger in what Pitt gets ready for based on Wake's personnel?
Mm-hmm.
And you get guys like Brandon Hill or Eric Hallett, who I think are critical. I think the most important guy for Pitt's defense, and this is just me, is Phil Campbell. I mean, Servassier Dennis, it's a given. Kalaji Kansi, it's a given. Phil Campbell is a guy who plays close to the ball and can also back up in coverage. He becomes a very important piece, I think, Saturday night for Pittsburgh. Likewise for Wake Forest. I think Luke Masterson's a tremendously big piece for what they're going to do. I think Masterson is a key guy, and Miles Fox is a huge piece. Because here's the thing. Pitt keeps you a little more honest than you think by running the football.
Yeah, right. You know, the other thing, too, I thought Clemson gave everybody the blueprint with Wake. Now, the question is, do you have the personnel to be able to do that? Pitt up front?
Yeah, well,
can cause a problem to at least hold off the rush. I mean, because if Wake can nickel and dime you with a slow mesh, put you to sleep, we're gonna go over the top. I mean, if you could stuff the run, and say, guess what, Sam Hartman? We respect you, and your wide receivers are great. But if you're one-dimensional, we'll take our chances.
Well, and the other part, too, every time you get suckered into Roberson, Perry, Morin, Donald Stewart, you forget about Blake Whitehart out there, Brandon Chapman out there. Oh, by the way, they'll slip it to a back every once in a while, Turner, Ellison, Beal Smith. By the way, it's been a while for Christian Beal Smith, too. Christian Beal Smith will close a game on you if you're not careful, too.
And here's the other thing, too, Wes, to add intrigue to the game. Both defenses, talking about Pitt and Wake, did the job last week.
Oh, yeah.
And hey, Sean Tucker at Syracuse is a beast. Mm-hmm. And Pitt went, not today.
That's right.
Sorry. Yeah. We know you want to run the football. You're not going to do it today.
Right.
So can they do that to Wake Forest? They'll take their chances. Yeah. And for Wake Forest, after getting gashed for 300-some-odd yards on the ground at Clemson, they went up to BC and went, Garwo, hey, we know you're having a great year. Going to go over 1,000 yards. Not today.
Yeah.
You're going to have less than 200 total yards and 9 first downs. So while we sit here and gush about how great the offenses are and the quarterbacks, and they are, whose defense comes to the table Saturday night and goes, guess what? Don't forget about us. We'll have a factor in who wins this game.
Yeah, we're going to get more into this, by the way, in our final hour here. But let's just say this. If it gets to shootout status, 60 or more points and one score and things like that, numbers get pretty interesting. They get pretty interesting. Take a look at this. Here's Pitt and Wake in one-score games with 60 or more points.
Hmm.
Look at the Deeks, 3-1.
Well, here's the other thing. These two teams are comfortable scoring. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't worry about it, man. It's like a golfer that says, hey, guess what? I can go low. I can put 8 birdies on you and shoot 64 in a millisecond. These two teams get the ball in their hand and go, we don't care what you're playing. We're going to score.
Yeah. By the way, Wake's only loss is that Canadian Football League game they played with Carolina.
But remember, that was a game in which they were in total control, much like they were the year before.
Right.
And their defense couldn't stop anybody. They had a bunch of guys gashed back in the secondary, and Ty Chandler and company went nuts late in that game. So I think the game Saturday night is going to be a great deal of fun.
I really do. On that.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Hey, what, man? You got the Pac-12 championship game Friday night. You got great hoops, championship Saturday. Mm-hmm. You got the dice roll Sunday, right? Who's going to be in? Hey, who's out? What bowls you're going to? It's a cool time of the year.
I got one for you. We got two basketball games on here Friday night on ACC Network, including Notre Dame visiting Boston College. Earl Grant's first league game against Mike Bray comes up on Friday night. That is at 6 o'clock, and then Pittsburgh at Virginia at 8 o'clock. So you get 5 ACC basketball. Actually, 6 if you count Sunday's Carolina-Georgia Tech game that's over on ESPN.
It's all fine and good. Here's what I want to know.
Okay.
Two things. Number one, have we had anybody contact you regarding the rowing championships in May?
That'd be a zero.
All right. Work to be done by the suits on that front. And number two, Friday night duels.
January.
Are we going to start doing something for this?
That's January.
I understand.
January.
I think we need to be cranked up.
Oh, you want to go live to the Friday night?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
We got four in the top 15 now.
I'm really not in charge of that.
Oh, neither am I.
I know.
But we have been known to cause a stir on this show from time to time. Okay, me.
True or false? Let's go. Josh Macri's here. Championship edition of True or False. Coming up, oh, there he is, the masked wonder of Bristol, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning.
Based on your cadence there, I didn't think you were done.
No, the masked wonder of Bristol. Go ahead.
Period.
Yeah, period.
Who's ready for a little true or false championship edition?
True.
Nice. Like it. First one, we got a couple of prolific quarterbacks playing in Saturday's game, of course. Kenny Pickett and Sam Hartman. True or false, both signal callers will throw for more than 335 yards on Saturday.
False.
Yeah, I'm going to go false as well. Championship game, people be a little tighter than normal than a regular game.
Mm-hmm.
I think people trying to establish the run maybe a little bit to alleviate the pressure of having to throw for 350+. So I'm going to go false with that too.
Yep. Russ. I think the winner is in Atlanta, by the way. So you're playing for a chance to play, you know, in the Peach Bowl, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm going to go false. I think one will do it, the other will not.
Yep.
Because somebody's going to run it Saturday night. I think the change of pace on Saturday night is the ability to run the ball and work the clock.
Burying the lead here. 335, by the way, that was the number because that is the ACC championship record held by one Marcus Vick of Virginia Tech.
How about that?
That's a good bar bet.
Yeah. That's a really good bar bet, actually.
Sticking with the quarterback theme, true or false, at least two interceptions will be thrown in the game. Keep in mind, both Pickett and Hartman threw a pick their last time out.
Combined or individually?
Combined.
I'm going to say true. Both of these dudes are really accurate. But I think that, you know what, we get to desperation time. You might be seeing some forces. I'm going to go true.
I'm going false. I'm going to go false here. One defense can take it away. The other has an occasional pull. But I'm going to say no. Not two doesn't make it. One maybe, but not two.
Yep. They're first and third, respectively, Wake being first in turnover margin.
Yeah.
A total of 17 interceptions have been thrown by those two men this season. From the air to the ground, true or false, the Panthers will rush for more than 200 yards on the Deeks Saturday.
False. I just don't see – I see Pitt using the run game, but I see Pitt also moving the football with – intermediate throws and then the deep shots, and they're really good at the deep ball. Their deep ball is, I think, we talk about shootouts back. Abanacanda, hope he's healthy. Vincent Davis plays a role in this, I'm sure, but I don't think they get more than 200.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they do, they're going to be bringing hardware back to Pittsburgh, right? Mm-hmm. Two Bills. Well, that's dominating somebody up front now.
Well, that's
two Bills. That's a big number,
right? But how many times have they done that, Josh? I know you're looking at the number. 200 just didn't show up here. Why do we have 200 as the margin?
Wake gives up more than 200 yards a game. They're 113th in the nation in rushing defense.
Pack.
I'm still going to go false.
Okay.
I think Kenny Pickett's got a chance to entertain the Heisman folks, too. I think Pitt's going to sit there and go, hey, we got a chance to win hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Put our guy, our star, on the pedestal.
Right.
Let's sling it around the yard. Yeah, we got to run the ball some. But I think it could be a humongous night for Kenny Pickett.
I'm with you on
Big
that.
Picture.
Something we can talk about with Lewis Riddick coming up here in just over a half hour as well.
There you go.
Right.
Good call. Nice promotion on your part. Nice look ahead.
Thank you. Let's stick with the record theme here. The record for receiving touchdowns in an ACC championship game is held by T. Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
He had three of them in 2019.
Yeah.
True or false, there will be a receiver in this Saturday's game, which will break that record of three.
False.
Yeah, false. Packer and I sat and watched T. Higgins in the first half of that game against Virginia. We turned around and went, whoa.
Yeah,
I mean, first throw down the field was like, whoa.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
What are we doing here? No, I don't think the record of three touchdown catches will be broken on Saturday.
Could it be tied?
You could get a couple here.
Yeah.
Somebody could put a couple in their back pocket.
Number three could put some in his.
Oh, Jordan Addison can get wide open on you in a second.
I tell you who else has gotten sneaky for them. It was Jared Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Wayne's gotten really sneaky. And oh, by the way, if this thing gets bogged down red zone, it's a Lucas Kroll show.
And don't forget A.T. Perry.
A.T. Perry.
I mean, Wake's got a bunch of dudes now. And here's the thing. You got two guys who can deliver the football.
Yeah.
Right? This is not one of those, man, we hope the wind's blowing right. Nuh-uh. These two dudes can get it done.
There you go.
Hartman and Pickett are the legit deal now. It's going to be fun. I'm telling you, this game's got a chance to be maybe the most entertaining in terms of put your feet up, grab some popcorn games.
There you go.
It's not going to get the hype of a Georgia-Bama or anything else like that.
Right.
But it's got a chance to really be a wide-open, crazy, fun football game.
Yeah.
Could you make the case that there are too many receiving options for this record to be in danger? I mean, you guys just rattled them all. You guys just went Dabo on both receiving corps, naming about 15 guys.
That's why they're playing for a championship, because they're good and they're deep and they have quarterbacks who can play. I mean, it's a great combination.
It's so funny, Wes.
Just went Dabo.
Dabo.
We rolled off 16 names.
Yeah, one
Dabo,
question.
Dabo, what was it? What 20, was the record 25. Dabo set? Was it 25? Did he give us 25 guys that time?
I think 2 years ago we asked him a question about a couple of young guys.
And we got 25.
No notes. He rattled off, I think, 25 or 29 names on the answer. It was one of the all-timers.
And Macri just hung Dabo on us. We named seven guys and Macri went Dabo.
No, that's okay.
There we go. Good. Okay, Josh, continue.
Let's stick with the record theme here. The record for points scored in an ACC championship game is 82. True or false, these two teams on Saturday will break that mark?
That, I think, has a chance to happen.
You know, I'm going to go false. You know why? Because common sense tells you it should be true. So I'm going to go against the grain. That there are some defensive stops. There are more field goals than touchdowns as expected. And we have a high-scoring, entertaining game, but maybe not a crazy, crazy one like this. Common sense would tell you true. But both averaging over 42 a game.
You just went from feet up and popcorn.
You could still have a 35-31 game. Oh,
okay. So you're looking at margin one way, points the other.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What are you saying there, Mr. Durham, Mr. Uber Eats guy?
I'm saying they got a chance to break 82.
So that'd be true.
Yeah, I say true. Yeah, true.
I think you have a chance with the Uber Eats thing. I think there's a chance for us to do something with that after your delivery yesterday, which was spectacular. Truly spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks to the folks who brought all that stuff.
And I even left the Deweys out here today. I didn't even
triple ginger's walking out of here. The triple ginger's walking out of here.
For you. Here is my payment to you.
Is this the courier fee?
For you, Uber Eats guy.
Thanks to the Carters, Matthew and Andrew, for providing the triple ginger cookie.
If that makes you, I tried to give you some Moravian sugar cake yesterday.
No.
I put two of them in the fridge for you. Unless Otto's tapping into it. That's fine.
Yeah.
Otto may be tapping.
They're great with coffee in the morning.
They're great just the way they are.
That's right. All right, let's move along, Josh. Sorry.
Uber Eats.
But an interesting footnote, it was 15 years ago today that Wake Forest won the ACC football championship, beating Georgia Tech.
Appreciate that.
You're welcome. In that game, a total of 15 points were scored.
Yes.
How long is it going to take before the total gets over 15 in this game
on
Saturday?
6 minutes.
That game put push football back about two decades.
Say it to Riley Skinner's face.
I would. And he would too. 9-6 final.
You know what? John Abadi is the guy that needs to get all the credit for the 2006 ACC championship game.
Wake Georgia Tech was doing it long before Bama and LSU decided to make it
game.
Cool.
Jacksonville.
They had to go 9-6 overtime. 9-6.
9-6. I was there. I'm well aware.
The voice of the Jackets. That was prior to your Uber Eats debut.
All right, let's go. What's the last one? I'm guessing the last one may not be.
To be determined.
Okay.
See how quickly you guys answer this one.
True.
So, Wes, you're a big announcer guy. You know how these things work.
Sure.
Dan Marino, obviously a very prominent University of Pittsburgh alum.
And will be here Saturday.
Well, there you go. That's the impetus for this question. True or false, there will be at least 3.5 Dan Marino references on the broadcast of the ACC championship.
Over. Is that Randy McMillan?
So true.
Yeah, I'm going true.
Bark.
We're barking on 3.5. True. Over. Yes.
I'm going to go false.
You're crazy.
I am.
You're
that would be true. That would be true.
Yeah, no way. 3.5 references on the ABC broadcast with Mark Jones and Robert Griffin III.
I'm not stuttering. I said false.
Over.
There'll be a shot of Marino somewhere as a guaranteed one. There'll be a couple Kenny Picketts. He broke this record.
That's three.
And that's it.
There'll be more. Trust me, there'll be more.
Mark the tape.
Yeah. Let's count up the Marino references during the game, okay?
How cool would it be if Marino walked in here tomorrow?
That'd be pretty
awesome.
I have
a funny Dan Marino story.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably why he's not walking in here tomorrow then.
Well, he wouldn't know me from
the moon. Has he got isotoners? Is he going to bring us some isotoners?
Maybe for Chester.
Be good if Dan came in with the isotoners. Remember the isotoner ads?
The gloves?
Yeah. That was...
I got a funny Marino.
I saw Dan Marino one time playing golf. Kiawah Island.
Do we have time for the story? No, we don't, do we?
Yeah, we do. Go ahead.
Can't do it quick. It's like a two-minute story. It's funny. I can't do it.
Dan Marino story?
All right, here's the deal.
Okay.
I'm working at the Blockbuster Bowl. All right.
Oh.
Bring out the Blockbuster
Bowl. Let me get the
ball. All right.
Okay.
My man, Eric Palms, who runs the Orange Bowl, right?
Who watches the show.
Yeah, Palms and I are tight.
Right? Yeah.
Even to this day. But we were buddies back then. He says, Pack, hey, my friend has tickets to the Dan Marino television show. Let's go. I said, I'm in. So, and again, keep in mind, Marino's like a rock star. Beyond a rock star.
No doubt.
This is 30-some-odd years ago. So you got to get a special VIP pass to go, like, behind us. It's a Miami thing, right?
Yeah.
Got the guy, the cords are all over the place.
Right.
People can come in, you can't come in. Do you have the pass? All that nonsense. Well, we got the pass. Well, one of the guys that comes with us, I'm going to leave his name out to protect the
Just make up a name. Fictitious. Joe.
Joe walks in with us. We got a little VIP thing, right? We go back.
Here's you and Marino. Palms?
Yeah. And this guy, Joe, is PO'd at Marino because the week before they lost the game. He's a big Dolphins guy.
Oh, is he?
And he says to Marino, hey, dude, what are we going to do this? And like Marino looks around like,
dude.
Yeah, he wants to go after him. Like, man, who the VIPs, man? You can't go after Dan Marino
right.
in his own show.
Correct.
And so Marino walks in and he goes, hey, dude, you're gonna throw the four more picks this week or whatever you screamed
Mark Clayton, you're gonna throw picks to Clayton.
And Marino turns around and looks at the guy and says, hey, you get a free bowl of soup with that suit you're wearing? Walks right to the stage and does the show. And we were dying. I mean, so for the rest, this guy Joe, for the rest of the duration.
Yeah.
Hey, you can get a free bowl of soup with that suit. So Marino was like taking no nonsense, but he was a movie star, man. Marino was the man.
Still is.
Oh, dude, he had the look.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the whole thing going.
Kidding me?
Miami Vice.
Central Catholic High School, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Surprised the security folks didn't just throw us out.
At least
Joe. We were good.
Do we still know Joe?
I haven't talked to that guy in three
Does
decades.
Palms know Joe?
Probably.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.